Welcome to Ever Beyond. On Wolf Spirit Radio, Ever Beyond Radio, and Tir na Sour in Ireland. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond. Please join us in the chat room at www.wolfspiritradio.com/listen. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio.
Yes, and welcome. This is JP on Wolf Spirit Radio. This is the show Ever Beyond. It is the 13th of March, 2016. I'm here, just, I'm just getting all my volumes and, I had a major system crash on Friday, and I lost everything, but luckily I had a backup from a month ago, but still I lost a month. Well, that's all right. Everything that's in the archives, everything that should be up in the archives is already up in the archives. So, and that's all it stores on this computer. So, everything should be all right. I now have a bigger machine. It's faster, but it's not set up, and it needs a little bit of tweaking. So, if there's someone who knows about jack audio circuits on Linux, I'm running Ubuntu. I need to figure out how to make everything work in Ubuntu to bring Skype in. That would be the best thing, is Skype or other VoIP to come in. Okay, so I'm just checking on my volume. It doesn't look particularly good. I hope I'm loud enough. Oh, cantankerous computers and naughty nooks. I mean, I'm sure that this is the galactic waves that are messing us all up. Actually, you know, I'm going to put a call out. Sunny Dimension 9, you've done some great artwork. I'd like to invite you on the show. Would you like to call in? 775-773-3431 or Wolf Spirit Radio on Skype. Eventually, I'll be able to get Skype working on this broadcast computer, which is going to be great. We'll be able to maybe field calls and do all sorts of nice stuff. Anyhow, where shall we go today? Well, as I said, I would like to talk to people. Just dialing in now. There we go. Oh dear, where did I just type that? Oh dear, quick. Bye-bye. All right, okay. So, that was good. There we go, yeah. Okay, yeah, but I need somebody with a brain who can telepathically get the information. See, the trouble with these Linux documents is that they're incredibly long, and all I want to do is, like, give me the commands that do this. I don't need to know what weather it is in Scotland, you know, that sort of thing. So, but anyway, Sunny, yeah, give me a call. That'd be great. I'd love to talk to you, see what we, can come up with. I really enjoy your artwork. I'm really impressed by what you've done. So yes, indeed, Wolf Spirit Radio on Skype, and you can call in or use the call-in number. This is 775-773-3431. Yeah. What was that number? I will type it in. Isn't it somewhere on the website? Well, we should put it on. 775-773-3431. Right. No. Stupid keyboard. Oh, yeah. Where are you, actually, Sunny? Are you in Britain? Anyway, 0141356 4141. Actually, yeah, if you want to call that, anybody else as well, I'd be happy to talk to you. But anyway, let's talk. Yeah, my, I need to figure out how to work Skype and, Pulse Audio Jack, not Pulse Audio, Jack Audio, because you have these wires and it's got a wiring diagram and you pull one wire to another and stuff, but I still haven't quite figured it out. And my brain is so tired, I don't get a moment's rest. I'm going to have a moan. Maybe I should, no, I don't, look, I don't want to really moan. I'm exhausted. To be honest, I don't really feel like doing this today. I'm really exhausted. This equipment is completely failing me. And I would rather have the day off, to be honest. But, you know, if you want to cheer me up, that might be a good thing. It's just been, very difficult so far. And I really, I don't know what to say. Right. Anyway, I'm going to put a bit of music on. Hello.
Hi, JP.
Is that Sunny?
Yes, it is.
Oh, hello, Sunny. Well, welcome.
How you doing?
All right. Where are you from?
The UK. I live in London.
In London?
Yeah.
Whereabouts in London?
Just outside Ealing.
Ealing. Ah, that Ealing feeling. How's your Broadway?
Everyone knows Ealing.
I know the Ealing feeling. Yeah, I'm from Bethnal Green. You see, I'm from the other side of London. So.
It's awesome.
Awesome. So, welcome to Ever Beyond. Have you been on any of the other shows?
I haven't been on any of the other shows, to be honest. I've just been on the chat rooms and helping with the promos.
That's brilliant. I've seen some of the wolf art that you've done. Are you generally a wolf? Do you draw wolves? I mean, there are people who like just draw wolves, they don't do anything else, but other artwork? Are
you I focus most of my artwork on comics. I'll post a few things up later on the chat board or on the forum later, but I've always been interested in comic art, so I think I've always had this eye for detail when it comes to I can't really explain it, to be honest. It's, I see something in my head. I want it out there. I just make it.
That's amazing. You know, I've always, you know, I can't even draw a bloody square. You know, I can't even draw a square straight. You know, there's always one angle off. Everything that I do is slightly cockeyed. So I totally admire people who can draw things that can represent what is coming out, going into their eyes and coming out of their hands, and it's the same stuff. Whereas what goes into my eyes and comes out of my hands is just kind of mangled mess that looks like somebody's dipped spiders in ink and released them on the paper. So
people would call that abstract, wouldn't they?
Yeah, you could call that abstract. I just call it crap. I just call it talentless rubbish. So, but you know, I do my own thing. I know I'm a guitar player, so I somehow can get you can approximate.
Well, that means you put your art in a different form.
Yeah, it's a feeling. It goes into the feeling thing rather than the looking thing. But the looking thing is very important these days. Especially when you're trying to draw people in. That's the main thing. The first thing that people perceive is the color and the eye and all that stuff. So, you did cartoons. I was a cartoon fan when I was a kid. My grandmother and grandfather had a paper shop in Bethnal Green, and so when I went to sort of hang out after school, because you know my mum worked and everything, so I used to go there after school. I used to wait every 2 weeks, because that's when the Marvel and DC comics used to arrive.
Yeah, that's it.
And so I totally grew up on comics as an information medium. So what were your main influences?
Honestly, I think it started off with Superman, and it's never changed. I'm probably the biggest Superman fan out there.
You mean the guy with the blue hair?
Well, it started with Christopher Reeves growing up and watching Christopher Reeves as Superman. I mean,
saw it in the film.
Ideology and icon, yeah.
All right, so you saw it in the film and then went into the cartoons, yeah?
Right, because I don't think, at a young age, you don't really pick up on the stories in cartoons. It's just a quick little picture that you see every now and then. I never really focused on, like, the actual stories. I'll just, like, look at a couple of pictures and just see what I like, and then that was it. But I think over the years, I just ended up just having a bigger and bigger fascination with comics. And then in high school, I decided to take art GCSE, and I think it just flourished from there.
Just to explain, GCSEs are the exams you get when you're 15 years old. Is that 15 or 16 these years?
15, yeah. Mm-hmm. 15, 16.
So by saying that, you're obviously a lot younger than me. You know, you in your, like, 30s or something?
Yeah, 29.
29, all right, man, close enough. So you're at that point. So 29, the old, the famous Saturn return, where you see your life flash before you and think, what was that? What have I done so far? Is that any good? What do I want to do? You know, are you reaching those sorts of moments?
Yeah, I would probably say so. I mean, I question what it is I want to do all the time. I think I think everyone goes through that phase. I think I go through it constantly. I think since I was a kid, since I was 7, I've always actually kind of questioned my existence. And I think, through that, I've always had, that's why I dove into other stories that weren't really any part of our reality, because it allowed me to escape from those questionable thoughts that I always had.
Your self-questioning thoughts, like, am I really? So here's the thing, you know, a couple of years ago, there was a Project Camelot radio show, a couple of years, probably 4 years now, and it was this crazy fellow, or he sounded crazy at the time, but then it started to make sense that he actually found out that the earliest cartoons, you know, they started doing these cartoon books in like the 30s, that they were actually describing, as we're finding out now about the secret space program, actually describing real, like, genetic weirdos, people who have been genetically modified in the laboratory. And that a lot of these so-called superheroes, really, there's a basis in reality for them, which is an interesting little thing. But in terms of, you were inspired by the concept, the look of Superman. Was there a sense of, oh, hang on a second, there's something I feel like him, I don't feel like I'm from here. Like him, I feel that I'm somehow, you know, this feeling of not being quite what everybody else seems to be. Which is like most of the people who listen to Wolf Spirit Radio, we all feel that. So you're among friends if you want to say that.
In a sense, what you said, I did feel that, but I've only just recently realized through the help of Max that I'm a walk-in. I'm still getting assistance. I haven't got all my memories back or anything, so I won't get into that just yet. But I think so. It's from that where I've always had this questionable idea of myself. So I think that's where it came from. Hello.
Hi. So when you say that you're a walk-in, Seems to be walk-in evening today. Did you listen to the last show? Did you have any? Did you feel any kind of relativity with the with Zeno who was speaking?
Zeno. I related a lot of stuff that Zeno said to myself about questioning myself and just those emotions. I mean, I myself am an atheist. I really do think it's there's a reason for the way that we feel this way, and it's because we don't really truly belong here. If you know what I mean.
Well, this is a very interesting thing. Because it's a very harsh environment.
It is.
It's a lot harsher, than a lot of the outer space environments, because this is the point. This is like the point between two very hard rocks being forced together by some very, unstoppable forces. And the point when those two rocks meet is a point of great friction, and that's planet Earth. Those rocks, many people are trying to do something about this. And a lot of people who have arrived here, such as yourself, perhaps, have come here with a particular purpose or mission or idea or... maybe you're just irritated by one particular thing.
Oh, yes. All of the above. I have a very short fuse, which I'm, or at least I have had a short fuse in the past, and that's because nobody's really understood me. And it's difficult to explain who I am to people as well. I do believe that I am here for a purpose. And for as long as I can remember, I've always said that, you know, saving the planet is a necessity. And I do believe I'm here for that, but I haven't found my true purpose of what it is, I'm supposed to do just yet. But I'll get there.
Okay. Well, to be honest, Sonny, from what I can see, you're already doing it. I wouldn't worry about it. You're pretty much online. You know, doing what you do, following what you love, you know, just pottering around, I think I'll do that today, I think I'll do this today. That's what we mean by life purpose. These people wander around with a single-minded, pointed purpose. They're probably psychotic. These are the people that make it in the big businesses, but generally they're psychopaths. So... Yeah, be believing around doing a little bit of this, a little bit of that, what you love. Because the key to the soul, and as I say, and I know it sounds like Barry White, but the nature of soul is love.
I said, I believe you.
You know what I'm saying?
So,
the things that are of the soul are things that you will love. I mean, it just makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, you, sometimes might be, you know, judged, oh, what are you playing with cartoons? That's for kids, isn't it? And as if children are not important, you know, as if they're not like totally more open than we are and all this stuff. So people may try to put you down, but, everybody's got, children inside them that have not grown up.
Of course. Definitely.
And that's, you know, that's part of my, thing, because most of these children are traumatized. They've been through some terrible things. And I think, in fact, most people have been through some terrible things. Like I said before, this is a very harsh world. Can you tell me when the first time you realized, hang on a second, I'm not like the others? What was the stimulus to that? Can you remember that?
Yes, I won't be able to give you a specific day or anything, but it would have been in 2000 when I started high school, I think one of the first lessons we actually had was religious education.
Always a good
and
one.
They start and they just started talking and asking. I don't know why the teacher did this, because I've never had anyone ask me this, like all those silly questions before. But she went to each student and asked them what they believed in. And that was the first time anyone had ever asked me in my entire life, what do I believe in? What if I believe in God? And I said, no, I don't. Because I think I was still trying to understand. I think you have to understand yourself before you can understand everything else. And once you find your purpose and who you are and what changes you want to make, improvements that you want to make, it doesn't, you can't really, or at least for me, I can't believe in anything until I can believe in myself.
So, to that end, what were the steps that you took to start understanding who you are?
I think it was just a million and one different little things from then till now. Little choices of what it is I want. For instance, that was the year I decided to become a vegetarian for the first time, because growing up, I was always force-fed meat. I didn't like the smell of it. If my dad ever cooked it, I would just go up into my room and stay there until the smell dissipated, or they opened the windows or something, because it was just too much. I decided to become a vegetarian, so I'm the only vegetarian in the house. That lasted about 6-7 years, and then I became a vegan. Just another choice that I made. And I think I've been better since, emotionally and physically. It's like clarity.
You find that your emotional control goes out the window when you eat too much meat?
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah. I never liked the smell or the taste of it in the first place. My parents were quite strict, because I come from an Indian family. So you couldn't leave the table until that meat was finished. That plate was empty. So I would sit there for about an hour after everyone, and I still hadn't touched my food. And I don't know why they never just made me decide that I was a vegetarian. I think it felt like I never had any choices until those first questions were asked. And then I realized I had those options of actually saying no to what it is I don't want. And it worked out since from there.
Awesome. Although, you say you grew up in an Indian household, at least there's a little bit more sympathy culturally for vegetarianism and veganism in India. Probably not maybe in British Indian culture so much, but there is a certain sense of respect for people who don't eat meat and cows and things. And what part of India? Because there's loads of different...
I'm from a Sikh family, so the Punjab, so very, very much next to Amritsar. It's not far, it's an hour drive away. It's called Gurdaspur.
Aha, Sikhs. Right, okay, I get you. So, yes, I have an old-time Sikh friend, so I got your vibe there. So interesting. So there you are. Growing up, seeing all these, everything around you, when did the being, I don't know, what were the things that you did? I mean, how do you start to find out who you are if you don't know who you are? Lesson one from Sonny. What happened?
seems like a difficult question to answer.
All right, let's try it a different way.
There is no easy answer to that.
All right, let's try it a different way. I come up to you and say, Sonny, I see you've found out a lot about who you are. How do I go about it?
Oh, well, I guess it just starts with yourself. What is it you don't like about yourself that you'd like to improve on? You just have to ask yourself those questions, because once you ask those questions, everything else just kind of falls into place. For instance, like I was saying with the whole become a vegetarian thing, I didn't like it, so I made a solid choice of my own to become vegetarian, and then vegan. And you have no idea. The family were completely stressed out and annoyed with that fact, since that means an extra dish had to be made separately just for me when everyone else was eating meat. You just got to ask yourself those questions. What it is that you'd like to change for yourself?
And you
inner peace.
Yeah. So how far would you say you're along the road of finding?
I'm still finding myself.
Have you discovered, for instance, or are you interested in, for instance, if you feel that you're not from here, and tell me spontaneously, the first thing that comes into your mind, where are you from?
From the ninth dimension.
There we go, from the ninth dimension. And do you have a particular location?
It's the equivalent of Earth. And my family there were also Sikhs. We're six foot tall. That's like the minimum height that you get. Everyone's in long robes and turbans. And they we have rubies on the turbans.
Lovely. So this is like a planet of Sikh?
It's more like a collective understanding of peace amongst everyone.
Okay, so actually, not many people know very much, and I don't know that much about what you'd call Sikhism. What's the collective name for the philosophy? Or is it a philosophy? Is it like Jewish? You know, that you got a race and a religion and the whole thing, it's a whole package, or is it just can you be a Sikh that comes from Russia, for instance?
You can have Sikhs anywhere. I mean, there are loads of people that tend to convert to any and all religions. You don't have to be born a Sikh, for instance. Like, just like any other religion, you don't have to be born into it. You can choose what you like. It's a way of life. When Sikhism was founded, it was founded on spirituality, not on politics. So, you know, well, when you go back to history and you see all of the founders of what people call now our religions, it all began with a spiritual understanding of ourselves. And through that, you become a better person, and you open your mind to new things, those being other dimensional things, or for instance, Reiki. It's once you understand energy flows around you, you understand that you can manipulate that energy and, for instance, heal yourself or others. And it's very similar to that. Time is talking about the 5Ks. Have you heard of the 5Ks?
I haven't, and probably nobody else. I mean, just to say, the Sikh philosophy and religion it's quite rarefied. You know, you don't often meet them, and I think it's just marvelous, to be honest, that there's always a sense of is a slightly otherworldliness about Sikhs. Is there a decree or an ordinance to be slightly separate from people? I mean, you can't show your hair and things like that.
It didn't start off with that you're not allowed to show your hair, because when it was founded, there were many other religions in the area that, just like anywhere else, if a new religion is founded, it's displeasing to other people, the idea and notion that you're creating a new religion. So what happened was, the turban itself was like an old-fashioned helmet to protect your hair. Does that make any sense?
I see. So it was started out as a protection.
You're not supposed to cut your hair because you're born perfect. Everybody is born perfect. So the notion is, when you cut your hair, you're creating imperfections in yourself.
All right. So no tattoos or piercings.
The story of Samson.
Yes, indeed. The Nazarene. And right. Rastafarians say the same thing.
Yeah. So, you know, the beliefs go on throughout history everywhere. It's just, I think, and I don't just believe in Sikhism. I'm a student of Earth. I believe in all religions now.
So, time's firing. Everybody's firing questions. So the question from time is, do you cut your hair?
I have cut my hair, yes. But that was a choice that I had made to see.
Did you shave it off, or did you just trim it?
I cut it. And that's only very recently. It was just to see whether I should. Because, like eating meat and taking it out, I've lived my entire life without actually knowing whether it was the best option for me. So I decided to cut my hair.
Well, it's an interesting thing. I mean, we've been following this thing for several years now. There was a thing about the truth about long hair, and we published it. Dave Corso and I published it in about 2010, and started growing our hair. You know, two old white geezers. I tell you, they've managed to get a lot more than me, because I don't have that much hair, as you can see. But I have not cut it for many years and kept it long, and it looks a bit straggly. But the thing is that it's antenna, antenna. So they connect you with certain things. We know that the Vrildarmen in Nazi Germany, they grew their hair so that they could communicate with other planets. Is there a thing like that in the high Sikhism, is that there's a celestial contact, they may call it, but it's like, really, it's from another planet? Difficult question. Do you want to take it break bit by bit?
Has it been the hour already?
No, that's fine. I'm just saying, I asked you a difficult question. Do you want me to break it down into easy
parts? I thought you said take a break. Okay. No, it's fine. The connections. Okay, all the founders of Sikhism, which are the gurus, which is in translation means teachers. So they're just teachers or guides.
What's that word again?
Teacher.
No. The.
Guru. GURU.
Oh, guru. All right. Okay. Sorry. You said it very quickly. Okay. Guru. Yeah. Okay. We need to get that. Yeah.
So they all taught the same thing. It's the idea of spirituality, but I think when you look at it through a historical point of view, trying to explain something like connecting with other realms to people that have never heard of that before, maybe the word spirituality is the closest description that they could have given. So abiding by certain, let's call them rules, like all religions have, praying is a form of meditation at the end of the day. So when you pray, you meditate, and when you meditate, you unlock your mind, your pineal gland, and you become one with yourself and everything else. So you're able to communicate with other beings. So yeah, I think you can.
So from the ninth dimensional Sikh perspective, what would be the, I was just trying to think, like, you know how a karate chop is just placed exactly at the right place to make the maximum effect?
Yeah.
Why would, for the want of a better word, Planet Sikh send you to this place? And what?
Well, I haven't learnt that yet.
Right. Well, maybe we can work some of this through tonight if you're interested, because you know, the whole thing, you know, I love life purpose, you know, this is I'm so into life purpose, but really this is soul and this is what you love, and I mean, in a way, as an artist, you're giving feedback to people. You're seeing things from your perspective, which may not be the perspective that they see things in. And if they can see your perspective, they may see a higher perspective. What do you think of that?
That's possible. That's completely possible. I have to accept all answers and advice given to me. And I'm the best one to choose, and I tend to sleep on things, just wake up refreshed the next day and decide each and every day what I should do, and what's been said to me and how to go forward from there. So you might be right.
This is a very interesting, because it's very harmless, to observe. Who is this guy? Banksy. Have you heard of, obviously you've heard of Banksy, right? The graffiti artist?
Chat room?
No, the graffiti artist.
Oh, right, yeah, Banksy.
Yeah, I mean, he's gone beyond graffiti these days, like, you know, sort of puts building or something. But, he's essentially started out as a graffiti scribbler, but eventually became a social commenter. Which is what we're
right.
talking about,
yeah.
is a sense of social commentary, but more than social, kind of planetary commentary. What do you think? Or racial, I don't know, no, racial doesn't sound good. But, commentary.
Well, I think it was because when you look at Banksy's work, ever since Banksy did all those amazing pieces of work, I mean, when you walk through the streets of London now, I've seen, there's an entire street next to Tottenham Court Road. I'll post it in the forum if I remember the name of the street, but it's like an entire street block full of beautiful graffiti, and it's just incredible and inspiring. And if anyone was to ever go there, I mean, you can't turn your eyes away from it. It's not, see, graffiti is the worst word I could possibly think. If that's like saying it's manure. It's not. It's a.
It's pejorative.
It's an expression. It's an expression.
Yeah, it's pejorative, which, you know, to say it's art is a terrible thing. Would you call it street art? What's your term for it?
I just call it artwork. I mean, anything is just artwork to me. best description I can think of.
Okay.
When you look at Picasso or Henri Matisse, anyone else, I mean, they're all brilliant in their own way, and it's just because they had an idea and put it down on paper, or at least in a form on paper.
All right. I have to say, Dolly's just tuned in. She can hear three voices, so I don't know where that one's coming from.
Maybe, sure either. I don't hear anything.
Maybe it's our spirit guides talking. So, Dolly, let us know if you can hear me, hear any other voices. Tell us what they're saying, and maybe they're trying to join the conversation. But currently, I am. Yeah, I'm alone in this room, physically. Hang on, are there any entities in here? Oh, yeah, one, more than one. Just one other. Okay. So people come here and they visit. And when they visit, other things follow them in. It's like, you know, some stray dog walks past. I must remember to help. People come in to be crossed over. And he comes to be crossed. Yeah, he's a person. Yeah. Okay. I'm almost alone. So maybe Dolly is starting to hear the voice of this person. Let me know what they want, if they need a cup of tea, but if they can just sit down on the sofa. And none in the bedroom, not in the bedroom, not in the bathroom, please. Thank you very much. Okay. So, Sonny, I tell you, life has gotten weird since I started doing internet radio, and I've been able to perceive, what can I say, for want of a better word, ghosts. People who have crossed over, who need to be, take that final step, they've been kind of, hovering because they haven't made up their, well, they've basically usually got an unforgiveness sitting around in their body or in their field, that holds them onto the planet. So it was really a really very strange experience that I had a couple of years ago of like actually counseling the spirit of a dead person to tell them, yeah, did you know that you're dead? And B, you know, sort of what's, you know, why are you feeling this way? What's holding you in? What, you know, and eventually you get to what they're holding on to, and then they realize that, and then they release it, and then they've moved on. But, that's how I experience ghosts around here, and I'll tell you, it's a strange life. I used to be an IT guy, and nothing like this. But I'm starting to feel spirits around me, let's say. So, what...
Do you feel the emotions that they feel?
Oh, yeah, it's like empathy. Wow. And so some of them are quite angry, and before I realize that something's gone on, they've kind of stepped into my body, and go away. And that probably explains why I was messed up this afternoon, because I normally, all right, long story, but I normally have a meditation before I do the shows and clear anything like this out so that I don't get messed up. But tonight I didn't have a chance because we're in the Pacific Daylight Time, which is what I call Nightmare Fortnight, Sonny.
Okay.
Because, what is it? It's now 3:47 PST, but it's now, most weeks of the year, it's 11:47. Yeah, it's 10 to midnight. Really, in GMT. Yeah. Anyway, it's all messed up, and our time zones are all messed up. So we're an hour early. So I've kind of lost an hour of broadcast space, and so I was kind of thrown into it with a broken machine and nothing working properly.
Well, so everything's a learning curve, and if you haven't experienced it before, you know for next time now. You'll never have it again.
I tell you, man. This last 4 years has been a kind of almost vertical learning curve of everything, all sorts of weird things, and I'm having to learn Linux as well, which is very strange.
I did post a Linux forum link up just before I called you. That was a troubleshooting thing for your jack problem.
All right, do you use Linux?
I have dabbled in Linux. It's interesting. Operating system. I mean, you have full control over it. It's pretty amazing once you get the hang of it.
Yeah, you've probably got some friends who've got the hang of it. I unfortunately...
No one else uses Linux that I know of.
All right. I knew about it when I was like 18. Well, it was called Unix then, but...
Yes.
And it was what all the real computer geeks used, the proper ones. I was working in the computer center, which is like doing data processing, which is not the same thing. And it kind of passed me by until finally I had to bite the bullet about 5-6 years ago and start using Ubuntu and things like that. But it's great. It's very good.
Yeah.
Yes. So yeah, when I say, you know, what's it like at home, I'm not talking about Ealing, I'm talking about home. Can you describe the situation? Or is it the same earth that we live on in the future when we're all ninth dimensional? Is this the sort of thing?
I would say it's like a neutral but perfectly balanced world, very similar to this. Full of energy.
So
that's the best description that I can give
so,
right now.
So when you say it's full of energy, I get the sense that there's sort of light things darting around everywhere, or flitting, or like butterflies, or something like that.
All the potential that we have on this earth has been unlocked there. So when I speak of energy, I mean like we have just this beautiful connection with everything. We're just at one with everything. That's just the best description I can say. It's peaceful yet neutral. It's just brilliant, fantastic, beautiful.
And
yeah.
The sky is blue? The grass is green?
You know what? I've never actually... I don't remember. I haven't remembered the sky yet. It's more of the way I remember things at the moment is... Because I'm still learning. But what I've gathered so far is that it's all through... like an emotion, like a feeling. And I do have dreams. I get things through with dreams. Very similar to Zeno's description of things, actually. Funnily enough.
So, that's a very interesting, you know, everybody seems to come from a much more peaceful place. You know. Maybe it's like living in the country and going to the town. It's like, or living in the suburbs as you do and maybe going into central London, you know, and, you know, going out to party and then going back home for a nice quiet do.
I think it has to do with, I do really think it has to do with technology. When you, for instance, look at the monolithic structures that exist now, or built hundreds of thousands of years ago, they weren't done with man-made tools. But when you look back at certain stories, they say that they used, for instance, monks believed that they were capable of moving 5-ton rocks with the sound of their voice. It's a through energy and frequencies. And we've all had this ability within us in the past, but we've lost it. And it's because we've lost it, we're stuck in this whirlpool of no energy, no control of who or what we should be doing. But we are waking up. everyone's waking up slowly. And because of that, we're going to get to that point where we have that positive influence of energy.
And with it's really, we're talking about like how the world would be if it wasn't for the way it was. In fact, all of these places that other people come from, or maybe I come from somewhere, I don't know where I come from. Presumably I'm dissatisfied with where I come from, which is why I keep moving on. You know, one can only presume that way, you know. Why do people move town? Why do people move on? You know, they usually have had a bad relationship or something like that. You know. So the Earth put the call out, and many.
Sorry, I didn't hear that. What you just said?
The Earth put the call out.
Right. Yes.
And we, and many others. What Nancy calls out-of-towners, decided to say hello. Some of us arrived here on time. Some got here a little early.
That's a good description.
And it just seems like, one of those little, those things that I have in a fun fair where you put a coin in and there's thousands of coins that are just underneath. And as the coin drops down, you hope that that coin pushes the one in front of it forward so that one falls off the edge and pushes the one, and you get this cascade of coins. And I think that's how, you know, we've been thrown back in time, not really placed, but just thrown back as far as you can. And integrate, and you know, make sure that nobody notices you, and do your best, and we'll meet up in 2016. And here we are, and like, oh, wow, there's all this stuff happening now. I haven't got time to learn all this. I haven't got time to learn all that. Oh, how handy! I already know it. So here we. So, I don't know where that monologue came from. But we get the sense that we're all here to arrive now and to wake up now. I believe that we're all going to get here at the same time. Some people wake up slower and had to start earlier. That's why I think I had to, you know, I don't think it might be anything to do with being any better or anything worse. It's probably that, you know, I'm a really dense, turgid soul that I needed to have a bike crash 30 years ago so that I'd be awake enough today to recognize my brothers and sisters so that I can have conversations with them and spread the word that it's time.
I think it's very similar to that saying, some people are born with greatness and some have greatness thrust upon them. If you just exchange a few words, it's that idea of when you need to be where you are, but you aren't there yet. You get that guidance, and you're pushed into it. Because it's part of who you're supposed to be, and that's what happened to you. You were pushed into the person you're supposed to be.
That's true. And because, you know, I was very skeptical. I was really, you know, a real hard-nosed, you know, very scientific minded, you know, nothing was supernatural at all.
I was always a very, very logical person, but this spirituality thing is fairly new, I would say. I mean, I've always had a belief in on a spiritual level. But when everyone always talks about religion, that's where they whatever it is they're saying out and go in one ear and out the other. I don't listen. So, yeah.
So, let's take a little break. Now, I'm feeling a lot better. Now I've figured out what's going on, because what happens is when there's a spirit here, you know, I get in a bit of a tiz-wars. I can't think clearly. And when I realize what's going on, I know what's happening, so I can think clearly and put, you know, that's not my thoughts and feelings. That's somebody else, and, you know, get them to go and sit down on the sofa and wait. We got a show coming up. Next show, we'll have a couple of people that can help him run the Book of the Dead and go across. But he may have something to say. So, Dolly, if you're actually able to hear this guy, I think it's a guy. Yeah, it's a guy. Let us know what he's saying. Dolly can hear it. Maybe you can hear it across the radio. That would be the weirdest thing. Talk about EVP here on Ever Beyond. Anyway. In the meantime, I want to play a track by our dear friend, Kate of Gaia. Now, for all his, her, yeah, there's another, what the heck, here, F-bombs and everything, a beautiful musician and a lovely singer. This is called Rescue.
Okay, Rescue. Here we go. I think if we get people emailing in, they can decide whether this song makes the album or not.
All right.
Take my hand. Rest your weary heart a moment. One last stand for what you've always dreamed of. Here I am, an island in your stormy waters, and rescue is just a word away. It's just a word away. I've watched you try. Seen you spread your wings to fly, without a place to land. Not so much as one who arising, but you push on through every wall that still surrounds you. Set down your stubborn pride. It's a friendship I can't hide. So take my hand and rest your weary heart a moment. One last stand for what you've always dreamed of. Here I am, an island in your stormy waters, and rescue is just a word away. It's just a word away. You think that I don't hear you when you say you'll find that's true. It's what you cannot say. It's your eyes that give away. I know when my friend's hurting, that's why I'll share the burden. I've been where you are right now. I'm still there, still learning how. So take my hand and rest your weary heart a moment. One last stand for what you've always dreamed of. Here I am, an island in your stormy waters, and rescue is just a word away. It's just a word away. Take my hand and rest your weary heart a moment. One last stand for what you've always dreamed of. Here I am, an island in your stormy waters, and rescue is just a word away. I said rescue is just a word away.
And welcome back to Ever Beyond. This is JP, and I'm talking to Sonny. Sonny of Dimension 9. Are you still on the line, Dimension 9?
I'm still here.
Giddy good. Giddy good. So, yeah, I've just been, like, I was away from the desk. I was thinking, that's interesting. Zeno was saying that he had a more Indian look. more brown skinned look, and in the place where you come from, do the Sikhs?
I don't remember what I look like or what my name is.
All right, or what the
I'm
other
still
people
being
look like.
Guided. The previous description is all that I can, all that I know right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Turbans and robes, very tall.
Very tall, yeah. This is the thing about most people when they're talking about star nations and star elders, is they're considerably taller than Earth people. And I think this...
that might just be... No, sorry. I'll let you say yours first.
Well, no, go ahead. What's your feeling?
Pollution takes a great deal of stunting our growth. The food that intake, all of it. When you look at our history, we were all very tall people. You look at the origins of people on Earth, Scandinavians, Indians, Indigenous Americans or Australians. They were originally all tall people. Only once corporations became involved more in society did our growth become more stunted. And then the idea of beauty has been focused on a certain look, and because of that certain look, we create new beings through procreation of a particular specified species, and that's basically what we are, is like just a chosen big experiment of making us smaller and more confined in ourselves. But once we're aware of who we are, I think anything's possible in the future.
One of the things that Alex Collier says is that the fifth dimension is much more expansive than the third dimension. And so one can only presume, given that, linearly following the whole thing, that the ninth dimension is considerably more expansive even than the fifth or the seventh. Can that be true?
Expansive in what way? Like, emotionally? Spiritually? Or literally?
Literally. More expansive. I.e., so here's the thing. For example, do you follow Doctor Who?
Yes.
Okay. All right. No shame in that. No shame in that.
No.
Right? So Doctor Who has a fifth dimensional vehicle.
Right, the TARDIS.
The TARDIS is fifth dimensional, because you hear it all the time when they're talking about these secret space programs, that the ETs that they meet, they step out of tiny little craft, and then when they invite you in, it's bigger on the inside. It's smaller on the outside. It's not the same on the... That's the explanation, that you're actually... Well... time and relative dimension in space.
I think that in that retrospect, you have to look at, I have no recollection or memory or idea of the fifth dimension. I've only studied and done much research on the ninth dimension. And from what I understand when it comes to walk-ins, I think one of Max's other walk-in buddies mentioned it in a previous conversation. I think it was on a different radio station. And said something quite hilarious. He said, I come from the fifth dimension, but I travel through the ninth dimension to get to the fifth because he said something like, border patrol is much easier to go through on the ninth dimension. So, in a way, maybe the idea of being expensive is true.
Passing
through the fifth dimension would be expensive, but it's more the ninth dimension, people are more lenient with accepting people. So they get through easier.
Well, it does. And it's interesting because I do a thing called a ray reading. You know, I don't think anybody else on the internet does ray readings. I'd love to hear if anybody else does, because we can compare notes. I'm not in competition. I'm just like here on my own. Yeah. But what I do in order to not be corrupted, because it's like the physical plane and the fourth dimension, third and fourth dimensions are messy. You never know what's true. You know, you can't rely on it. So I go to the mental plane with the higher mental plane. So that will be in the fifth dimension. And then I come down through the emotional plane, through the soul plane, through the, it must be higher than the fifth dimension then. I'm going to the monad. I don't know where the monad is. I should think about this stuff and work it out. I just know it in my own terms rather than in terms that everybody else can understand, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
But so essentially when I do a reading on someone, I go to the highest point that I can in me. I go across to their highest point, and it's clean because their highest self knows who they are all the way down to their cells. So
right.
I can ask questions of them if they need to be helped. Because most of the time it's about people are disconnected from that place. And I can somehow connect very easily and connect them in. And, you know, to be like a telephone operator, you know, putting you through. You know, there you go. So, that's very interesting, coming up, going in the higher dimension and then coming back down again. I've spoken before a long, long time ago with Nora Herold and Wendy Kennedy. Have you heard of these two?
I can't say that I have.
Okay, well, they channel the same being. They live quite near to each other in California and stuff, in West America, but they've been channeling the ninth dimensional Pleiadian Collective.
Oh wow!
It's been a few years since we've had them on the air. It was really interesting because they would channel together. They would both be saying the same things out of two different mouths, sometimes finishing sentences. That's strange.
I don't think it's that strange. When you look at, let's say, inventors, for instance, the greatest inventors in history, they were never the only ones to think of that sole invention. There's always someone else that has an almost identical idea. It's just whoever gets to the patent office first has always been able to do it. And many of them always say that they get these ideas from dreams. But, you know, it could just be that they are receiving messages of how to improve the world or themselves and everyone around them. And through that, they all, as a collective, like you said, a Pleiadian collective or collective from any other species, it's just there. We're not alone.
The thing that I've been saying for many years is thoughts are things that have people. Like the idea of, you know, inventing the wheel. I'm sure, you know, the idea of inventing the wheel will occur eventually to any group of people because it's an idea and it already exists. You know, it just needs to come to the person. See what I mean?
Right.
So in terms of what we call supernormal, paranormal activity in big cities, a lot of people in from the East, you know, India and Pakistan and all these places, very much more mm-hmm. aware of beings like the jinn and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Is that something that is I wouldn't say accepted in your, you know, in your family group, but like, it's a lot less frowned upon, the idea of, isn't it?
You are breaking up a little, JP, but I did understand the question. I believe that, the belief system in, say, for instance, India, where they, like, ancient India, with, before Sikhs, it was Hindus and Persians, which were, you know, Hindus, Persians, Muslims, and when you look at the history, they had many gods, right? And when you look at the description of those gods, or what they had with gods, they were described as descending from the skies on chariots of gold, and very similar stories you'd find in Greece, for instance, or Norway. Like Norse gods, for instance. So you get this, collective belief throughout history of other beings visiting our planet, or this planet. And without understanding technology, I think some that weren't actually gods were just plainly considered it. Does that make any sense?
Well,
so this idea of belief in like history is just there is certain truth to it on a spiritual level, but from a historical point of view, the facts may have been watered down.
Yeah, well, or kind of mythologized in a way. I mean, I really get the. I mean, to me, these people they call the Titans, and whoever your deities may be, you know, in these different areas, I believe that they were real and they were giant and perhaps ET and therefore blue, for instance, Shiva, I think is a Vegan, you know, from the planet Vega in the Lyra system. And he's got blue skin and he may not have four arms, but he's very wise. And I think they, you know, they all, that, like you were saying before, you know, all of our ancestors were taller. I know we look at the Anunnaki in these Sumerian paintings or bas reliefs, stone reliefs, you know, these were carved into rock. Okay.
Yes.
You're not gonna piss about doing, abstract depictions. If somebody's 9 feet tall, and you're drawing a 5 feet six person next to them, then you're going to draw a 9 feet, you're going to carve a 9 foot tall next to a 5 foot six. It's not going to be symbolic that this guy is a god and so that's why he's more important. No, he was 9 feet. That's my impression of this thing. I think you're kind of, you're on the same path here.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Because
There is a lot to blame for our stunted growth. I think we're all to blame for our stunted growth because we all shove junk food down our throats. It's because of that.
True.
With a clear mind and body, you will grow up to the best version of yourself.
Here's my weird theory number 37. I've got lots of weird theories, you know. Number one, the planet is expanding. Number two, the Earth is a sphere. Yeah, I know it's weird these days. But another weird one is that the places that we call deserts on this planet, are sites of nuclear war. And that we are all suffering from radiation poisoning, and that's why we're all so small.
That's why, I mean, there's a certain place in India, near the mountains, where there's an entire village slash almost a city, I'll say, just on, you know, a small city of people that live under the mountain, and they all have deformities. But everywhere else in the country, if you were to grow up there, you don't get those deformities. And it's because of radiation poisoning. Or at least that's what I believe.
They probably have a form of green glass there.
Green glass?
Green glass. As a mineral. Well, this is basically what it is fused molten sand. That's such as you get in a nuclear blast. Really. It happens. Oh, right. I get it all over the world in these deserts.
Oh, like vitrified, right. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, it's molten, yeah, literally, yeah, it's vitrified. And, they call it, you know, wherever it is, such and such desert glass or whatever. But I believe that everywhere that's a desert used to be green, but it was wiped out. It was nuked. And that's why nothing grows there.
Yeah, I totally agree with you.
So the question is, what was the war?
Pardon?
The question is, what was the war that was going on?
Well, if you look at, again, if you look at most of our history, they always talk about a war amongst the gods. Well, just everywhere. Mythology says the same thing over and over again, that there was a war again with the gods. If you look at, for instance, Christian history, it would say that it involves Nephilim descending, merging with humans, something like that. Or did they create Nephilim, which were half humans and half angels? But that was the notion. There was an abomination on Earth, or something was wrong with Earth, and they were fighting over who could win against, or who was right, through some sort of science experiment. But at least that's what I think happened. And because of this intergalactic argument, there was a war in the skies that did descend onto the ground, and because of it, we have wastelands now.
Now, I'm going to say something now. It might spark you. I'd love to see a cartoon of ancient galactic history. I totally would. I mean, I'm not taking the mic, because I learn through cartoons. I'm dyslexic, so reading is hard work for me. But I can speed read cartoons, because it's all symbolic language, isn't it?
Right.
And you can pass, you know, although it takes you a lot of time to put the information in, it comes out really fast. It's a telepathic download, each picture.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You do know what I'm saying, don't you?
Go to the museum, or, you know, an art museum, for instance, or you go to the British, British Museum, you go to the art sections, or you just go to those distinctive areas where they have art, in those certain rooms, and when you look at, let's say, for instance, the Civil War, in that one picture, you can see everything. You can see who lost, you can see who won, you can see how many people died, you can see what time of day or how the sky would have looked during that time of war. Just, you can feel the emotions of that moment. And you want me to do that?
Of course.
I can't take another time.
It sounds like a project. Maybe you could do an odd knockoff a cartoon. You know, a lot of this might be a weird thing. I don't know if you've got any backlogs, you know, an abundance of little sketches you might have put out. But we do a newsletter. Wouldn't it be cool to have a sketch or a picture, like a, you know, like a strip cartoon? Or so I, you know, when I was a kid and I looked at a newspaper, where did I go to? You know, went to just before the sports section, at the end of the TV, just after the agony aunt, was the cartoon section. I would,
Yeah.
Even into my late 40s, I would still do so. So, there's millions and millions and millions of me, or people with that, you know, that perceive in that dimension. So, I would love it. I'd like to invite you to, if you have anything like that, that you'd like to, you know, if you have a strip cartoon, if you've got an ongoing concept, or maybe just any just like one-liners, just jokes, cosmic jokes.
Well, I have got artwork that I have posted on, like, for instance, Instagram, and that's probably one of the best things I use for Instagram is when I just draw something, I just post something. But I haven't got a problem. Yeah, I'll add that to the newsletter, just any and all of the drawings I've done in the past.
Yeah,
but
excellent.
If you do Thank want you. Me to do the this big strip comic, will take me a bit of time.
Well, look, whatever you look, I'm just dropping that in as a potential. If you wanted to ever have a sole purpose, what the world needs is to know the true Earth history. What really happened in our, not Earth history and not galactic history, but solar history. We need to know the history of our solar system, because I think it's really important, because from what I can understand, our solar system is actually broken. Literally, everything's, you know, it shouldn't be all in these rings. We should all be in like these concentric rings.
Yeah.
You know?
Definitely.
And we should all be closer to the sun, and, you know, there's been a terrible thing happen. And the story of that needs to be told. And maybe this would be an interesting, because you may also find out who you are in this whole process, because I think we all will find out who we are in this process, because the story is untold, but it is below the level of our consciousness. So, it's just rising up. Our consciousness is able to drain away the busyness and finally get to this thing. Probably more the former. It's probably coming up to be visited. Does that make sense? Am I just babbling on?
Yeah, no, I was just listening. That makes sense. I have written it down. I will most likely get to it once I'm done with all the promos.
So they've gotten you busy, priority. Have they?
Yeah.
They've gotten you busy, right.
Everyone's got me busy.
Ah, so good man.
That's perfectly fine. That's fine.
Well, look, if I'm not giving you any hurry on this. You do anything in your own time.
Of course not. I'm giving myself a deadline, which is probably what's stressing myself out.
Yeah. So don't let me hurry you, because I'm in no hurry, so nobody else should, right? Even if it's time.
Yeah.
It's funny what happens if you just reach out your finger at the site at the right time. Sometimes there's a button underneath that is the right thing to do. Although tonight, that's not been working so well because there's been somebody in the room with me. It's funny being alone when you're really alone. You can really be alone with your thoughts, but if there's somebody in the room, even if it's the cat, you can't really think or feel exactly the same as you are. That's just my musing, really. So, Sunny.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for being with us and being so spontaneously up for a chat.
I thought it was just, I think it was a little early, but I think in a way I have got myself quite involved with the Wolf Pack, so I thought it was in a way overdue.
Yes. Yes. I could agree.
Well, I've got you on the phone.
Go ahead.
Have you got any ideas of your promotions, picture or video?
Well, this is the thing. I'm, you know, for my first thing is like, I've got this theme tune, right? This has got this kind of Eastern tambora sound and a couple of tablas and with the kind of Western drum kit and bass line and stuff like that. You may be actually... What happens when you hear that? If you could just sketch that feeling, that energy, that vibration, taken off the theme tune.
Yeah,
Does that make sense?
I'll give it a go. I'll give it, yeah, why not?
I'll send you a link to the full version, actually.
That would be a good idea.
It's got this little banger bit at the end. It kind of starts out as this cool thing. I suppose it's a bit like, you know, I have a friend who does Indian classical music fused with reggae.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
That works all together.
It does. It's very good. It's, I play the tracks a lot on the station. Mainly because, you know, it's like I don't have to worry about copyright things because I've got express permission, you know, because he's my mate.
Yeah.
I actually, you know, sometimes do his sound engineering things and play bass and stuff like that. So it's a kind of
awesome.
Large collective.
How long have you been playing?
He's been doing this for like 30 years. He started off at the same time as like the Happy Mondays and that sort of people.
Yeah.
Anyway, the band is called Sons of Arca. And
Sons?
Yeah, S-U-N-S of A-R-Q-A. You Google it. I just actually uploaded a lecture that he did. That they, you know, they had a lecture about the sun, the gods, you know, the Indian gods, and the sons of Arca, who he talks about, and and then did a short gig, a little, you know, a few tunes. It's good stuff. It's on my YouTube channel that I publish all the Simon Parks and Alex Collier, which is called Studio 9 Jam. That's my
channel. Studio 9 Jam.
Yeah. That's really
cool. Okay.
Excellent, thank you.
Cool.
So, how about yourself? Do you have, you got an Instagram site? Do you have a web, do you have a domain?
No. I like to stay below the radar.
Uh-huh.
If I'm honest.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I think any work that I do is, even if it's voluntary work, it's best not to announce it, to be honest. I kind of just post it just for me.
Okay.
Anyone that likes to appreciate it, they can appreciate it.
Well, I really love that thing that you did with the Haggy Shack, you know? Just to be able to say to someone, look, can you put a wolf in front of Haggy's shack in the moonlight? And like, that's fantastic, man. That's beautiful.
It just came out. Iconics. It wasn't my ideas, though, were they? I mean, I've listened to the show for about a month now.
Uh-huh.
I've seen the websites, got an idea and feel for the themes of what Colleen wanted and who she is, and it was easy to express. And I think that's where everyone resonated with that picture as well, is because they've all listened to the show and they've been following Wolf Spirit Radio for a while. So as soon as that final picture came out, everyone is just ecstatic.
Yeah, well, it's a blend that has been rendered. take credit. Your rendering is beautiful. Let's put it that way. Fantastic. I'm really pleased. We've been kind of magnetically putting out for graphic people, who can help us with this, other artists and, I'm looking for more producers, for instance. I'd like another producer in Britain who can handle the early day, part of it. Because, you know, I handle the late day. Well, we need a couple more, really. We need at least two more, producers.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Because you do a lot of work.
Yeah. And Colleen is, you know, busy 24/7. Like, if I had a, you know, I've got a whole load of projects that I've got, including running a DC house, and I've just helped a friend of mine put a DC LED lighting system into his van. He's got a Mercedes van, and we, you know, bought the battery and did the whole thing. And as payment for that, he's given me one of these big batteries, which is absolutely beautiful. And it's 115 amp hours, and it can basically run a light system for a week. But then I've got my solar panels as well, and the solar panels are topping that up too. So it's all kind of turned around, and I really want to do some work on it. I really want to kind of make more lights and put them around the house, but, you know, I don't. Got radio to do. there we go. What's that? That's my personal channel. And I've also got, Studio 9 Jam, which is where that one is. I'll put up a link in a minute. So I'll be there. Thanks, Deb, though. That's the other one. That's Studio 9 Jam. Here we go. I'll just drop that in the chat room there. If I can. There we go.
That's do you have any additional energy saving or environment friendly ways of maintaining your house then?
Well, the idea is that the lighting will run off solar panels. That I've got a wood stove. Eventually, the central heating pump will run off some kind of other energy heating. I was talking to my friend tonight, and what we need is a wind turbine, because I've got so much wind. I've got more wind than
sun. I was just thinking that. If you're in Scotland, it should be a little bit windy.
Ah, a little bit. they're promising good winds. I had on Wynn Keach a couple of weeks ago, and he's designed this rooftop system that forces the roof, does all the work in forcing the air. So all you have to do is you just have a wing at the top, you know, what I call a squirrel cage, at the top of the roof. The roof does all the work in channeling the wind to it as the wind blows along. And so, it concentrates it there, and a perfect place to put a wind turbine. I'm quite resourceful, and I like to encourage.
I was just imagining that actually, if you were to make loads of small fans and place them on the roof in a staggered position, you could, in theory, accumulate more energy from all those little fans on the roof than just one fan or two fans.
I think that there is value in that, and one of that is the economy of scale, is that you can make lots of things that are very light. But if you make the equivalent in something else, it would be very heavy, and so it wouldn't. It loses its value if you see.
There are quite a lot of videos, instructional videos, how to make mini wind turbines, and what I've gathered from that information is it's incredibly possible for someone to just make one on their roof with 50 little fans the size of, for instance, CDs. So the fan would be as big as that. And the wind that you'd get in Scotland, well, I can just imagine that would charge a good few batteries or a very large one.
You know, that's a very interesting thought. I was thinking about Tesla's turbine. Have you heard of the Tesla turbine?
Yes.
Which, like you say, you can make from very closely spaced CDs. That might be a thing to do with the myriad CDs I might have collected over the years. and old hard drives. And I tell you, hard drives. Oh. Do you mess about with stuff like that? Do you?
Yes. What do you need? I've saved hard drives over the years, and I even collect some from the scrapyards. Most of the reason is because the only thing they're good for nowadays is the earth magnet inside of it.
Yeah.
And I am planning on making a shungite filter with those magnets.
Okay.
I did have a discussion with Walt about these. He gave me his website as well, so I'm going to incorporate his design with something I have. And fingers crossed, Sonny, I come up with a slightly more efficient.
Check this out. When you break the hard drives open,
mm-hmm.
don't throw away the little mount that the magnet comes on. Do you know why?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Because
you can, those are, I forgot the word now.
Magnetic ball bearing. No, the mount that the magnet, you may not realize this, you may not know consciously this, but it's true, is that you take a magnet, right? You take your magnet out of the hard drive, mm-hmm. and you take a screwdriver, and
yeah, if you score it against a screwdriver, the screwdriver becomes magnetized.
No, no. Once again,
doesn't it?
You take the screwdriver and you put it on the face, and yeah, dunk, you know, it'll slip it towards the magnet. Turn this fellow over, and put the screwdriver onto the back of the magnet that is on
okay.
that basically you're touching the metal plate that the magnet is mounted on.
Yeah.
And the screwdriver can come and go as it pleases. It doesn't get drawn towards it. That material is a magnetic shield, and I don't think that anyone has figured this out yet in these new things. So I'm telling you, if you can figure this, right? Because now, think about this. If you've got a magnetic shield and you've got a magnet that is approaching another permanent magnet.
Yeah.
If you've got a magnetic shield, there'll be no resistance. Until it hits that magnet and the polarity, opposition creates a force. Do you see what I'm saying? Is that?
Yeah, I'm writing it down as we speak.
Okay. So, this could be a principle. You get like half a dozen of these, and you stagger them across, three each and three each. You know, you can maybe make a wheel turn. But because the magnet isn't, it doesn't see itself. You mount three of these on the wheel and three of these on the stator, and you'll get six pulses. Mount them, right? Am I right?
That's very interesting.
Or maybe you mount four on the stator at north, south, east, and west, and three on the rotor. See if that works. I'm sure that that kind of geometry will kind of create something. I might be wrong. I might be just... But that's what I'm saying, is that the most important thing I'm trying to say is that the back of this... The backing plate that the magnet is mounted on is a very special
ferrous material.
Yeah, it's a very special material that is magnetically shielding. Magnets, and it's really rare. How many things are magnetically shielding? How many things you can put a magnet on one side of and you can still stick to it on the other side with another magnet? This doesn't happen.
Do you know what? I probably have thought about that when I have taken those hard drives apart, but I've always just dismissed it.
Exactly. See? Exactly. Tiny little things that most people dismiss, like back EMF. Yeah. Oh, there's a spark. Oh, it's making a radio signal. Oh, let's put a capacitor across it. Rather than thinking, hang on a second, there's a spark there. What can we do with that spark? That's a lot of juice that's being wasted with that capacitor. The condenser in a car, you know. Imagine, instead of recharging your battery using an alternator, your car battery is recharged by the spark that is being produced in the back EMF of the field collapse of the ignition coil. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
You never know.
Wow.
I think about stuff like that. It's weird. But then I'm...
No, it's not weird. That's a complex mind you have there. and it's been put to good use.
Mm-mm. So, Right, hang on. I've been drifting away. I haven't had a look at the chat room here, so see how everybody's... Oh. Let's have a look. Ah, yes. Oh, my God. Yeah. And Dolly's saying, I love how Sunny has felt so home here so fast, and it is really nice. You do feel like a brother from another mother, kind of. You seem to know exactly what's going on. You're kind of up to speed on a lot of the agendas, it seems, you know. What has really surprised you? What has really like, oh wow, this is further than I thought when you tuned into Wolf Spirit?
Well, I came in with Max, as in, you know, he told me about his new show, so I decided to just peek in and hear what he had to say. And, I thought it was important to hear all the other hosts. Because I'm a very non-biased person. I don't try to form an opinion on just one radio, one host, just one post of on the radio. So, you know, I delve into it, listen to a few. I even downloaded a few old recordings just to get a feel for the belief system that everyone has, and everyone has the same belief, and I resonated with what they had to say. I think that's why I do feel a little bit like I'm at home here, because I agree with everything, well, most of what everyone has to say.
That's lovely. Yeah. It's so nice. Imagine, you know, you start a music venue and nobody knows about it, and you know, at first people come along and you know, they pop their heads in and then they go away again, and then eventually people start coming on a regular basis and it starts happening. We're kind of, although we've been going a long time, we've been through some ups and downs, and you know, a lot of catastrophes, you know, just total crap happens, and you know, we lose people, and things like this happen all the time, and so you get used to a kind of catastrophic mindset, and when there's somebody nice and somebody comes and it's like, oh, they're helpful, it's like, oh wow, thank you. It's, you get really appreciative, because there's a lot of people around who are well, it seems that there are people around who are very negative and want nothing to do but to hurt others. And it's great to find brothers who are, you know.
Sorry, JP. In my opinion, I think people are only negative because they haven't found the connections of what they have in common with other people. But once you strip down those differences and actually get to know that person, then you wouldn't really have that issue. And
that's it.
I think Wolf Spirit is a very good anchor and beacon that displays that openness, and it's like a big giant hug.
A big hug, yes. Lovely fur fabric. Cozy hug. Out like a beacon.
Yeah.
Yeah. I managed to get a sound effect in there. Yeah.
You can always add it for the recording.
So, we're about 10 minutes away. We're coming up to the Earth Healers, the World Healers group with Frank Jordan. I've got somebody here who's just waiting for the show. We pass people over. Have you tuned into Frank?
Sorry, was I lost? Am I tuned in?
Have you tuned into Frank Jordan's show yet?
No, Sundays.
You probably have to
It is quite late on a Sunday because it's almost 12 o'clock here.
It's true. Yeah.
Midnight. So I haven't actually heard it. Unless I have downloaded a few recordings, I can't say for certain whether I have or not unless I hear the voice.
Okay.
What does Frank Norman talk about?
Mm. When Frank does healings, we use the morphological field of the group, of the listeners, and of there's a group, you know, there's a group call as well. So there's always a kind of core number. And we use the energy in the morphological field to send out to do healings on people, places, and things. Quite incredible. Quite incredible.
That is brilliant.
So
but that does sound a lot like Reiki, though, doesn't it?
Mm, well, it's kind of... he talks about other metaphysical things as well. That's one of the things we do. But yes, it's a form of Reiki, yeah. Which is okay. Universal energy.
Brilliant. Mm. I'll tune into that.
Excellent. Well, that's coming up after the break, and we'll be... and Frank kind of gives a lecture the first hour, and then the healings. We take healing, you know, take healing requests. So if... if anybody's in the chat room and is still here in just over an hour and a bit's time, we'll take healing requests. If you've got a request for somebody you know, or even yourself, who needs some kind of healing, and we all need some kind of healing, some people more than others, and some people more intensely than others. But... you can put it in the chat room, put it in uppercase, all caps, and we can see what we can do. Miracles have happened, you know.
Let's send that energy to Mother Gaia.
Yeah.
Just reading Featherwild's comment.
Uh-huh. That's thing. all systems are limits. That's right. All systems are limits. And we're basically unlimited. You know, if you want to do something, you can. And that's the thing about, you know, human-sized gods. I think we're kind of like a micro-god, a nano-god. Because we were talking before about like giant people and humans are kind of cute little miniature versions.
Little puppy.
Yeah. And I think actually that they have that feeling about us, which might be the thing about the big thing and the little thing anyway. But, like we seem to be as children to them. Which is not good. Because they like children. Anyway, meanwhile, it's all part of the great tapestry that is our existence, as it were. So, Sonny, thank you for...
thank you very much, JP, for having me.
Oh, very much a pleasure.
Thank you, Wolf Spirit Radio, and all of the Wolf Pack.
Oh.
You guys have been fantastic.
By the way...
Yes.
A couple of years ago, I started a website. It's a sub-site on Wolf Spirit Radio called art.wolfspiritradio.com. It's got, you know, a little WordPress site. So if you've got anything you'd like to throw up there, or even put, like, the higher def versions of the things. You know, like, I do theme tunes. I make theme tunes. And they're usually edited versions of a longer tune. So I like to put the tunes up somewhere. So if you fancy putting up some of the original artwork that goes with the promos,
that's a brilliant idea. I think Vanessa's been contemplating where the forum's the best place. So maybe your website is the best place.
Yeah. Well, it's what I made it for. It's not my website. It's our website, and I made it for this to be, you know, for members of the Wolf Pack to publish their art. Or even friends of members of the Wolf Pack who do wolf artwork, which is, you know, I've got a print in my room by a lady called Mary Wolf, And it's a wolf, it's on the Wolf Art page, it's called, Full Moon Meditation. And it's, you know, wolves howling at the full moon, of course. And, okay. And, you know, she sells prints. I don't know if it's, anybody's ordered them, but I can make a, you know, if somebody ever wants a, like a large HD print of things, we figure out a way of getting it done, you know, like a Vista print service, one of these, web to print services.
I think Dottie will be, asking you to print her that picture.
Okay, now, Dolly is saying, please ask her son if he knows a Davit or a David or something close to that, and a Madge or a Marge.
I'm looking at the same thing. I've never heard of a Davit or a Madge. Is that like a guide?
I don't know.
What is that?
Maybe they're people. Are there people that you know? Do you know anyone called Marjorie? They call Madge.
There's a David up north, but I've only. He's more like a friend of my cousin's.
Mm-hmm.
Madge, no. Mm-hmm. Oh. I don't think so.
Yeah. Oh, well.
But then you know you have Indian names as well, so you know it could be a complexity from MJ. Never know.
Yeah, because Madge could be a shortening of Majinda Hindra,
Manraj or something like that. Yeah, it could be anything.
Yeah,
It's possible that I do.
So, Sunny from Dimension 9, thank you so much. It's been another Ever Beyond. We've survived.
thank you for having me.
Thank you, really. You've no idea. I mean, I was really grumpy at the beginning of the show, and I really didn't feel like doing it. And you've lit my life up a bit. Thank you so much. This has been Ever Beyond.
Ooh, Dolly just said that she's getting a message that they miss me.
Oh. Okay. Well, you connect with Dolly.
I'll check her.
Yeah. Okay. God bless you. Thank you so much. Good night.
Thank you very much. Have a good night. Bye.
Beyond.